today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
You need relief from hurt. So we go to God in supplication. Hear my voice or my supplication. Verse 3, if you, Lord, should mark my iniquities, look like I made a mistake. But if you held my iniquities against me, if you did it, if you held my iniquities against me, look at what he says. Who can stand? Who can really stand if God says, I'm going to hold your iniquity over your head?
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Church Hurt the Myth. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Psalm 130, verses 1 through 4.
Psalm 130, the 130th Psalm, and verse 1. It should be on the screen, and we'll read it in your hearing. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. There is forgiveness with you, that you may be what? Feared, reverenced. I'm continuing a message entitled Exposing the Spirit of Fraud or Deception. Today's message is entitled Church Hurt, the Myth. Church hurt, the myth. There's deception laced in church hurt, and a lot of people are making excuses, especially after being educated, of why they don't want to go to church anymore, because there's something that happened in the room when they were a child or a teenager and it bothered them, or they saw something in church that just messed them up. But they go to every other area that mess them up. They date people that mess them up. They hang out with people that mess them up. They smoke stuff that mess them up. They go to bars that mess them up. But the enemy don't want you to come to the church. Actually, there is no such thing as church hurt. It's all people hurt. And I see people gravitating to people that hurt them. Can't let them go. Still looking on the phone to see if they're going to call. But you can't enter into the church. We need to push this deceptive spirit out. And I welcome the people back into the house of the Lord. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So if you start sowing into the church, your love will come back to it. Just like if you sow in the shoes, you'll love them. You'll get up at 3 in the morning and pick them up and look at them. Man, I love these shoes. My God. If you do that to the church, you get up early in the morning, pick the church up, say, I love my church. Let me bless it. Let me pray about what God is doing. Help me to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts, what? With praise. Father, I give you glory and praise and honor for this message. And Father, help me to dispel by your spirit the myth of church hurt. And give us another perspective, Lord, to really pinpoint where the enemy has deceived us and kept us from entering into covenant relationships, causing our covenant relationships to become casual ones and not heartfelt, deep expressions of love. Father, I thank you that our church is growing in this love expression. Come and move, we say yes to you. And Father, thank you for the fraud of the enemy being unveiled and dispelled even through this word. And help people who have been hurt by church or in church to understand it's just deception from the enemy to keep them from their destiny. And I thank you for a return back to the house of the Lord in number, not only in word, but in deed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's get ready for our confession of faith. It should be on the screen in a moment. Get ready to flow. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word of God, and I choose to disagree with any thought, condition, or circumstance contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit. My mind is renewed, my heart is receptive and ready to receive. I can't quit. There's too much life in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask God to ignite fire in you so you don't become casual with like your confession of faith. Like, what, we're doing that again? That's the kind of attitude some people have on things like this. We're doing that again? Yes, we're doing it again. Just like you learn your ABCs, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. Well, you should build on your ABCs, right? You should build on them, right? Some people are still ABC ministers. ABC, D, E, F, G. They're not really saying anything. It's just, you just quoting the alphabet. H-I-J-K, L-M-N-O-P. But if you got that style, right? Everybody with it, that's right, go. But I want to build on it. So I'm giving you a confession of faith so we can build on it. This is my Bible. It is the word of God. It is God speaking to me, producing life in those who will hear it. I can do what it says I can do. I am all it says that I am. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I choose to agree with the word of God. I choose to disagree with any thought, get lost, with any contrary to the written or the spoken word of God. I am diligent to act upon what is revealed to me through the word of God, which abides in my spirit, my mind, my heart, and ready to, I can't quit. In Jesus' name, amen. You got to feel that thing. We get casual with the basics, but you got to feel it. So I tell you what I'll do. I'll preach that confession of faith. I'll break it all down and show you how, when unpacking it, how powerful it is. So we can go with it. God is revealing truth. And once it has been revealed, you have a responsibility that when you see anything contrary to the written or the spoken word of God, you should be able to stand up and say, I'm not with that. So if any, just give you for instance, there are people who are hinting that folk are just going to the pool because they see others doing it, and you let that slip out of your mouth. And it may be true, but if you with this, what you need to do, God, we believe God is leading people to the pool to restart their lives. And I'm asking you to echo what I'm saying and not what you're feeling. And if God is telling you to go to the pool, you need to go to the pool. Yes, I'm giving away free Bibles, but that's not the motivation. If you happen to get in line to get a free Bible, it's on you. Because you're going to get one, but that's not the motivation. A business owner heard me say that and said, I'm sowing a $500 seed per month to make sure they get the Bibles. So if God is moving on somebody to do something like that, who are we to speak negatively of it? You're not giving the 500. You won't give two. So let God be God and keep our mouths off what God is doing. And let us be diligent to act upon what is revealed to us. The reason I'm preaching, I got some stuff revealed to me. He's talking to me. And I'm talking to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's get into it. What does Psalm 130 have to do with the spirit of fraud or church hurt? First of all, you see a praise from David. I cried unto you. Not just I prayed, I cried unto you, and you heard my voice. It sounds like desperation. Sounds like something happened along the way, or something hurt his heart. Something disturbed his peace. Then he says, let your ears be attentive. I can't really feel you, but I'm asking you to allow your ear to be inclined to my voice of supplications. This is a different type prayer. This is not the kind of casual prayer. It's not even a prayer of thanksgiving, because you got prayers of thanksgiving. You have prayers where you request things from the Lord. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened. But you also have prayers of supplication. This is when something hurts, when there's a great need, and you need relief from stress. You need relief from pain. You need relief from hurt. So we go to God in supplication. Hear my voice or my supplication. Verse 3. If you, Lord, should mark my iniquities. Look like I made a mistake. But if you held my iniquities against me. If you did it. If you did it. If you held my iniquities against me. Look at what he says. Who can stand? Who can really stand if God says, I'm going to hold your iniquity over your head? But what is the man doing about his iniquity? He's crying. He's not saying, it's okay, it's casual. You know what he's saying? I messed up and I'm in a vice and I need you to help me. I know I did wrong. But I need your help. And if you hear your mercy from me, I couldn't make it. Sounds like desperation to me. But look at him reminding God, there is forgiveness with you. That you may be what? Here. I can't get you here yet. That you may be what?
Here.
That you may be reverenced. In other words, when I come off this mountain of repentance, I'm not going to be casual with me. Or casual with what I am going through. I'm going to fear you more. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I said the fear of the Lord. It's not smart or intelligence. It's when we say to God, man, I love you. And there's certain things I'm going to give you. There's certain things I'm going to release to you. There's certain things that I'm not going to get involved in because I fear or reverence you. Can the church say amen? Amen? Now we see why the enemy sends insult into the church, because he doesn't want this transaction to happen. He wants us still caught up in a quagmire. I like that word. I waited patiently for the Lord and he heard my cry and he brought me up out of the pit, out of the muck and the miry clay. And he set my foot on the rock and he established my going. But before he brought me up, I was stuck in the quagmire. And some of us are like that. We're waist deep now. We're waist deep in the quagmire. It's hard to move. And God has pull us up out of it. Glory to God. And once he pulls us out and he washes us off, we need to start walking in the path so we will fear the Lord. The enemy doesn't want any of that to happen. That's why he comes into the house and magnifies church hurt. See, God can take care of our problems if we come to him right. And he can fix our relationships if we come to him right. And he can bring wholeness to us as a people if we come to him right. And we need to see Psalm 130 verses 1 through 4 as a template of how we need to come to him. He will do his part if we do ours. So deceit is running deep. It's extending beyond the immediate situation that's happening in the country as I deal with fraud and financial stuff that's happening all over. You know, I was on my computer a few months ago, actually about a year ago, and it said that you some type of virus has been detected on your computer. Click right here. But actually, the virus was the thing that was enticing me, saying, click right here. That was the virus itself. There was nothing wrong with my computer. And foolishly, I clicked it. And all of a sudden, everything got caught. I felt like I was in the Matrix. This is what happens when we get so curious, we start clicking on stuff. Should have our head in a different spot, but we clicking too much. And you can click till you tick and talk. Tick tock, tick tock, to rock and spank, bang, do. Oh my God. Stop clicking so you won't tick tock. And I believe God allowed that to happen to me to show me how easy it is to get a virus on your stuff. One of the viruses we're talking about today is church hurt. Now, everybody suffers from the common cold. That's why we get immunizations. I get a flu shot every year. I don't care what Kennedy is talking about. He don't agree with immunization. I don't care about all of that. When I was coming up in Florida, we had what we call the mumps. And so little kids that didn't get immunizations, they swole up in their neck. See, I remember this. All of y'all that want to get so smart, man, and forget that all of us have had to get a booster shot. All of us. I got a little ring on my shoulder even now. I'm glad that I got my booster. Now, some people get so, well, you can deal with, you know, you can deal with your diseases in another way. And that may be true. But for the masses, we need to get the booster shots. And if you ever leave out of the country, you'll know what I'm talking about. I went to a stadium in Nigeria. It was packed out at 11 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. The pastor was a Nigerian that not only pastored in Lagos, he pastored in France. So he spent 5 hours on a plane every week going back and forth to two churches. Now, some of us can't drive down the street. This man was pastoring a church 5 hours away on the plane. It blew my mind to see that kind of commitment to ministry at a whole nother level. And he came to us, it's 14 of us, and he says, here's your assignment. Assignment? Yeah, you'll be flying to Abuja, you'll be flying here, you'll be flying there. And he paid for all of us to fly for 3 days to another part of Nigeria to preach. What? I thought y'all were poor. I thought you were poor. I thought it was Tarzan and the apes. Until you get there, you realize, wow, this is the spot here. Is this the crescent? Is this where life began? What's going on here? The mindset totally different. I got people in France, I got to get on a plane to go and see them every week. What about the cost? I'm not worried about the cost. God will provide. Whoa, whoa. You mean God will provide? Yes. Come outside of this stadium and I'm watching people walking down the street with no fingers. I said, what is this? He said, we didn't have immunization. We got all of this faith, but we need it because we don't have doctors.
Oh my God, help me, Jesus. And all of us that's casual in America, people want to get here because the diseases aren't deep. And the church should have an immunization. So we would stand out in the world. And that is a myth about church hurt. If you got people from around the world willing to walk for miles just to get to a church or fly for hours and don't worry about the cost, what's wrong with us? The enemy doesn't want us to be the people that God wants us to be, or to be a light that sits on a hill and cannot be hid. So he keeps us in the valley of offense, and it's deception to the max. So I'm calling us out of the valley of offense to higher ground. People's faith are soaring to that degree that would be like me pastoring in Alaska and flying back and forth every week. Oh my God. God never created us to live separately. I said, sir, how can you fly to France? People don't even speak your language. Well, I learned the language. He led me to go. Well, he led you. Everything fights against that. What are you talking about? He spoke to me and said, open up a ministry there. Jesus, you got that kind of faith to do it, and he's providing for you. That means if I wanted to open up a church in Atlanta or open up a church in New York, in the Bronx, I shouldn't have nobody talking about God can't. I'm talking about Bronx, New York. If that's what God wants us to do, we got to believe God that it can happen. And then we need to believe him for the resources to take teams up there. Because my God can do anything. My God can do anything. Our God can do anything. Anything but fail. So God takes me to a country like Nigeria, Lagos, Nigeria, the city there, millions of people, to build my faith, to stop living in a box of isolation, or think just because we're Americans, we got it. We may be the weaker in faith because when we have a problem, we don't turn to prayer. We turn to AI. God never created us to be separate, to be sophisticated and separate. Independent of each other. One can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. What could three do? Jesus even said, if there's two or three gathered in my name. He never wanted us to be separate or individuals. This is a myth from the enemy, and it's something that the enemy is using all over. You got to watch people. You got to, this is what's being, you got to watch people. You can't trust people. People don't like them. I mean, everybody's flowing after this. When God is trying to pull the church together. So anytime there's an issue, it's magnified. See, I knew I couldn't trust you. I knew I couldn't work with you. I knew you were going to mess me up. Versus saying, how can we come together out of Psalm 130? God always likes us unto his children. The ones that he cares for, that he nurtures. And he wants to care for and nurture each and every one of us. Write it down. Holy Spirit is grieved when we sulk and feel sorry for ourselves. When we sit there and we sulk, especially in a worship experience, it grieves the Holy Spirit. I didn't say he cast you away, but he's grieved. He's saying, I'm the one that brought you here. I allowed 1,000 things to go right so you don't get in a wreck on your way to church. I saw you drinking and driving, and I still allowed you to get home.
You caught a bad virus and I didn't allow it to kill you. I showed you mercy. No one knows about your testimony, but you know. But offense will help or hinder us from seeing the big picture. We start internalizing things, and it grieves the Holy Spirit, especially when we are assembled to worship Him. I don't know the name of this song, but there's a song that the team sings here. The ones you've saved have come to honor you. The ones you've healed have come to worship you. For some reason, that song just melds with me. Like out of all of the masses, right? He chose us. A lot of people have been healed by God, but they don't return. But the ones He touched, that He put His Spirit on, the ones that He brought out of darkness into a marvelous light, those of us that know we were tore up from the floor, man, we know that God rescued us, and we have come now to worship Him. Holy Spirit is grieved when we get that out of our sights, when we're more focused on who's coming in or what they're wearing or how they hurt us 7 years ago, 3 years ago, versus really giving Him honor and praise. What He's really after is our service. He doesn't want us to serve.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Church Hurt the Myth, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
High school seniors, don't miss your chance to apply for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship. This program supports future leaders through STEM and STEAM education. Applications are available at the Communication and Promotion Counter and are due Monday, January 26th. For details, email elders@truthrevealed.org. Registration is open for Six-Man, the 2026 Men's Advance Reloaded, scheduled for Friday and Saturday, January 9th and 10th. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app, website, or scan the QR code to register for this action-packed event, which promises to be an unforgettable experience. Take advantage of the combo package, and remember to order your conference t-shirt, polo, and jersey.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
The WWBC 1510 AM radio, the Christian voice of Brevard, has an official Facebook page. Check it out, like our posts, and leave a comment and follow us as well on WWBC 1510 AM radio.